electors. It's a mess.
Oh, you're telling me. We've got a constitutional crisis here.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, like I said, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to end up talking with you to get people to know you better. You know, hey, like, you know, do you mind if I could bring up the fact that you're a volunteer fireman?
Yeah, that's fine. It's my 20th year.
Welcome to the Prophecy Chronicles with your host, Paul Richard Price.
And hello, good evening to everyone here, as well as our listeners at WPRN in New Orleans. This is Paul Richard Price, the host of the Prophecy Chronicles here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. As most of my listeners here know, I do an eclectic view or amount of shows dealing with a variety of subjects, not only on UFOs and the paranormal, also on subjects that I believe in my heart matter to each and every one of you. And my guest, I've had him on once before here on this network, and I'm glad to have him back on, is Philip J. Berg. Now, Phil Berg is an attorney. And he is right now currently fighting in court several different court cases dealing with the constitutionality of Barack Obama's presidency. Now, Phil, being that we're on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, I've never asked you this question before, so I'm going to ask it to you right now. What is your viewpoints on, let's say, UFOs? What are your beliefs on that?
Well, I believe that our government knows more than they told us. I've been in touch with, I can't think of the name, a military person, I'm just drawing a blank on his name, who worked out in Nevada at the area where it's supposedly known for UFOs, and he swears up and down, you know, that he can't divulge certain things because he's in the military, but I think there's a lot that has not been told to us by our government. There's been sightings by many, many different people over the years, but it wouldn't surprise me because our government doesn't tell us the truth about a lot of things, as far as I'm concerned. So I think there's a real possibility they're there, and I wish they would divulge that to the American public.
Well, this goes into the subject material we're going to talk about tonight as well, as to the fact that we have a constitutional crisis on our hands right now with a president who should not be president of the United States. Now, this is a disclaimer for everyone here who's listening. I am not racist, neither is Phil. I would rather have Cynthia McKinney, who is a great Democrat from the state of Texas. She's African American. She is a wonderful woman. I would have rather her have won, let's be honest here. But since she didn't, we have Barack Obama, so we're not prejudiced. And I don't care if the person's white, black, Hispanic, it doesn't matter, man, male or female, or mixed race, it doesn't matter to me. What matters is the law. Is it okay for you and I, individually, what would happen if we ended up impeding the law? What happens when you run the light? You get a ticket. What happens if you drink and drive? You get arrested, ticketed, and serve jail time. What happens when we have a commander-in-chief who has violated the law as we know it? Is it any more right for him to get away with it than for us? And Phil, I'd like you to go ahead and explain your viewpoints on this. Go ahead, please.
On what point? I'm sorry.
on the fact that is it right for the commander-in-chief
okay.
to bypass the law, and we as citizens, you know, we're having to be put under the law, the umbrella of law?
No, not at all. And for your listeners there, I'm the first attorney in the country to file a lawsuit against Barack Hussein Obama over a year ago on August 21st, 2008. All this information can be ascertained from my website, which is obamacrimes.com. That's O-B-A-M-A, Obama Crimes, C-R-I-M-E-S dot C-O-M, one word, obamacrimes.com. I've said that I filed suit before the Democratic National Convention because I foresaw a problem that if it wasn't dealt with at that time, which in my opinion it hasn't been, and that is the fact that we are in a constitutional crisis. The truth will come out one of these days, and I'm hoping sooner than later, but with the truth, we, as far as I'm concerned, Obama is a phony. He's been in office now. I think everything he's done is void or voidable. I think it's a total disgrace that here we are 8 months after he's sworn into office that we still know nothing about him. And this is not the way the system's supposed to work. Arnold Schwarzenegger, people have been talking to him for 10, 15 years about running for office, and what's he say? He says, amend the Constitution, because he acknowledges that he's naturalized but not natural born. Barack Obama basically is saying nothing, but basically he's saying, I don't care about the Constitution, I'm walking all over the Constitution. The reason I say we have a constitutional crisis is because when the truth comes out, what happens? When Obama is legally removed from office, who becomes president? Is it Joe Biden? I don't think so. I'll tell you why. It used to be years ago, and I don't have the amendment in front of me, it used to be you voted separately for president and vice president. After a certain amendment, you now vote for them as one. So if one's a rotten apple, then they both are. So then does it move on the succession way, which puts Nancy Pelosi in there? I think not. I think it goes back to the joint session of Congress, which occurred on January 8th, when they had a responsibility to vote for, to count electoral votes for a qualified individual. And I think every member of Congress failed in their responsibility and duty. So does Congress then? Because if one member of the House and one member of the Senate had handed in a written note objecting to a particular state, if two of them did for one state, they would have had to break loose from the joint session of Congress, going back to the House chambers and the Senate chambers, discuss it, and if they didn't come to a consensus, they could have selected who they wanted for president and vice president. Does it go back to them, or because they failed in their responsibility, does it go back to the electors who met on December 15th in every capital in the United States, and they violated their duty because their duty was to only vote for a qualified candidate? So does it go back then, or then do we go back to November 4th, the election, and count only those votes of a person qualified, which would put McCain in? So I think we have a real mess on our hands, and I'm not sure how they're going to deal with it, but they have to deal with it because, in my opinion, we're the laughing stock of the world right now, because people around the world know that this guy's a phony, and we're really in a constitutional crisis.
Now, I want everybody to know that you're not for John McCain at all, are you?
No, I am doing this for one main reason, to enforce the U.S. Constitution. We can't just, over the past number of years, many rights given to us from the Constitution and Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights have been taken away from us. And we can't afford to let this keep going. We're on a slippery slope right now. Nations around the world have tried to copy and admire and follow our Constitution. Our forefathers drafted a wonderful agreement, which has lasted over 230 years. And now this guy comes along and he's trying to make shambles. I think this is the biggest hoax against the United States of America in our history in over 230 years. So our forefathers, I'm doing this for our forefathers. I'm doing this for the 1.6 million men and women who have died defending this Constitution and fighting our various wars, and in addition the 1.6 million who have been wounded. So we have 3.2 million men and women who have died or been wounded fighting to defend this Constitution. And I'm also doing it for the 305 million people in this country, the citizens of this country who deserve the truth, who deserve the honesty of our government. So it's really outrageous what's going on right now.
Well, and another thing, so, and to kind of change the subject a bit briefly, could you tell us a little bit about your background? I know that you've been a volunteer firefighter, policeman, if I'm correct?
Yeah, sure. Let me give you a background. First off, I'm a lifelong Democrat, which shocks everyone. But I'm doing that, again, for the Constitution. I was a committee person for 31 years between Philadelphia and Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. I was chairman of the Democratic Party in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. I was a member of the Democratic State Committee for 8 years. I was a candidate in the Democratic primaries in Pennsylvania for governor and United States Senate. So I am a lifelong Democrat. I'm still a Democrat. Then people come on to me and say, oh, you're a racist. Well, I happen to be white, but I also happen to be a paid-up life member of the NAACP. So I ask the next question. I was a Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania for 8 years, and this is my 28th year being a member of the fire police at the Barron Hill Volunteer Fire Company. For a while I served as lieutenant, for a while I served as sergeant. I'm just a member now. I do about 125 calls a year directing traffic around accidents or fire scenes. And actually it's dangerous. We've had several fire police in the county injured and even killed because people, when they're looking, they're driving, they're not looking at you, they're looking at the fire or the accident. So but I'm proud that I when the bell goes off, when my pager goes off, I can go after. The last time I was on a call was today, and even with everything I've been doing with this lawsuit, last year in the year 2008, I was named Fire Policeman of the Year for my fire company. So I think everyone should give a little to our community. We'd have a better world, better community.
Well, one thing I want to bring up as well is the fact that, one question I want to ask you is the mere fact that you are such a supporter of the military, were you ever a serviceman?
No, I wasn't. I was actually drafted, and I was 4F by the, I didn't pass the exam for that. But I admire and respect everyone who has fought for our country. And one thing bothers me, since you just asked that question, I love how every once in a while, like right now, people are saying, oh, we have to, like the Walter Reed Army Hospital isn't that nice, and we have to do better things. As an attorney over the years, I've represented many military personnel, and I think it's a disgrace how we represent, how we handle our the military people that have come home. I think anyone that has served our country should be given the finest and best medical care possible. And you hear about people sleeping under bridges and, you know, the military personnel. I think we should be bending over backwards for these people who have served our country. And I think, again, Washington's a joke. They come up on it, you know, every once in a while. The best way to clean out Washington, I think, what we really should do is throw them all out, because all members of the House and Senate are interested in two things. One, raising money, and two, getting reelected. And this year, I think we've seen a change with all the Tea Parties that have popped up across the country, and people are opposed to taxation, opposed to the medical leave. And but even the reporting of that gets very small. The reporting of the event which took place on September 12th in Washington, D.C., some of the papers were alluding to a couple hundred thousand people. Other reports are that it was up to 2 million people. The government doesn't want it known that many people were there, but a lot of people were there. And I am vocal. I even disagree, though, with some of the Tea Party. I'll tell you why, because the issue I am putting forth is that Obama is not constitutionally eligible to be president. I think this issue should be the number one issue even among the Tea Party, but some of the so-called heads of the Tea Party don't want to mix my issue with their issue. But if I can get rid of Obama as legally as president, then all these other issues fall by the wayside. So I don't understand, but that's the leadership. But we keep fighting on, and that's why the most important thing that people could do out there for me would be, not for me, I'm sorry, for all of us, is go to my website, ObamaCrimes.com, and send it to everyone on your address book, and ask them to send it on to everyone else. I think 10 to, like, 6 powers a million people. I mean, 10 times 10 times 10 times. It multiplies real quick, and most people have more than 10 names. Most people have an average of 100 names, and also or on your Facebook account. I just went on Facebook recently, and I think it's got to be no more than a month and a half, and I have, like, 2,300 friends already, and I'd like to get that up to 10,000. So people that are on Facebook, you know, come be my friend. because that's an instant way of sending communications around. If we didn't have the internet, we wouldn't be here today. But together we can straighten this country out. And what I'm looking for is a peaceful revolution. I don't want anyone to get hurt. And mentioning hurt, that's what a lot of people say why judges won't rule in my favor, because people are saying that, you know, if Obama's removed from office, there's going to be riots in the streets. And I promise everyone, if Obama is legally removed from office, I will call together all the clergy in this country, all the political leaders in this country, and perhaps even the entertainment leaders in this country, for a joint news conference and say, people, what are you doing? You're going to go destroy property, injure and kill people? For what? One person's to blame for all this, and that's Barack Hussein Obama. And he knows, you know, we're not dealing with a dummy here. We're dealing with a fraud. But think about it. He went to Occidental College, Columbia University, Harvard Law School. He was head of the Harvard Law Review. He graduated, became an attorney, and also taught constitutional law for 10 years. So he knows. He knows what's going on. And this is a total disgrace.
Well, let me also bring up a point where can I play the devil's advocate here for a second, if you don't mind.
Sure, I don't mind. I'm brave.
Okay, and I had a certain talk show host, I'm not going to mention his name, he called me racist, and he said I was working for the pharmaceutical companies because I had you as a guest on my show.
Because you had me on?
Yep. And I thought about that, and, you know, I want to play the devil's advocate here and ask you, the question he asked me, what difference should it make if the man is not legally supposed to be president as long as he's a good president? Now, that's just part of it first, Phil.
Well, I'll give an answer on this. Every once in a while, we find out that a doctor has been practicing medicine for 5, 10, 15, 20 years without a license. We found out a lawyer has been practicing without a license. And what do we do with those individuals? Those individuals are arrested and tried. You know, you can't just say, well, the surgeon was a good surgeon, he operated, but he didn't have a certification. So that goes right out the window here. I mean, he could be an excellent president, and I don't really get in the issues on there. I mean, if we get in the issues, I got to give him a zero because I think he's hurting the country. But I try not. I'm talking about whether he's qualified to be president. We have certain rules and regulations. We have a constitution. The constitution, our constitution has been adopted or copied by people all around the world, mostly unsuccessful. We have made this country go forth. We fought for the British. We established our own nation. We had the Declaration of Independence. We had the Bill of Rights, and we have the U.S. Constitution. These documents are important. If you want to say that, then you can say, well, so-and-so became a judge, but he wasn't a lawyer. Well, the requirements for a judge, except for, like, municipal court in some places, the requirements for most judgeships are you must be a lawyer. Now, the Supreme Court, believe it or not, you don't have to be a lawyer. That's not in the rules. But you have to follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules and then there's no guidelines, then who's to say if someone goes up and shoots someone and kills them, you know, why should they be tried for murder? You know? I mean, because there's rules. There's responsibilities. So you can't just say because he's a good president. And we don't know if a person's a good president until after they're out of office and we look back at what they've accomplished or not accomplished. So I don't buy that argument at all. You know, that's why there's a congressman in Florida introduced legislation, a Republican, stating for the year 2012 anyone running for president must show they're qualified. Well, he has seven other Republicans joined in with him, but no Democrats. And why not? Well, because the Democrats know that Obama's not qualified. Another thing that just came out recently was there's a certain documentation I don't have in front of me here that must be produced from the Republican National Committee and the Democratic National Committee stating to the Secretary of State of the various states that their candidate meets the qualifications and will follow the United States Constitution. Well, the Democrats now, that has uncovered that document, but that's not what was sent out to the 50 states. They eliminated the last sentence dealing with the U.S. Constitution. Which means it goes back to what I said a long time ago when the Democratic National Committee joined in with Obama and filed a joint motion to dismiss in my first lawsuit. There's collusion there. The DNC obviously knows that Obama's not qualified, and we're going to see where we can bring that into the cases here. This is a disgrace. You know, it's like someone walking to a bank and holding the bank up and taking money, and then afterwards saying, well, you know, I'm a good person. You know, you can't do that. You know, there's certain rules, responsibilities, and so I don't buy that argument.
Well, let me bring up another argument that the particular talk show host, brought up me. He said that if you support Philberg, then you must be working for the pharmaceutical cartel. And I'm going, well, if I'm working for him, then, well, shoot, where's the money? And let me ask you, where's your money, man? If you're working for the pharmaceutical cartel, you have to because you're against Barack Obama. Let me ask you, are you a man, are you a made man in that manner?
No, I mean, it doesn't even make sense. So if you're supporting me, then I support the pharmaceutical cartel? I don't have anything to do with the pharmaceuticals. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Does it?
See, but those are the arguments that the Obama supporters are pushing on people. Either you must be racist or you must be working against socialized health care. And it doesn't make sense to me. Those are arguments that have no merit.
I'm not working for pharmaceuticals. I'm not working for socialized medicine. I think that it's... To me, it's really sad the state of affairs that we have with the today with the medical that's trying to be shoved down our throats by the president. If we do need reform, and we probably do, why can't we take our time and look at it and analyze it and know what we're talking about? You know, here Obama's been traveling around all summer talking about without any specifics. Now he comes up with specifics, and everyone says everyone should jump on the bandwagon. I mean, I think a couple of things should happen. I think the donut hole should go away. Or be greatly reduced, or for pharmaceuticals, for prescriptions for elderly. I think I think competition would work much greater if we allowed people in one state to not. Right now, you can only buy insurance for a company that's licensed in your state. That doesn't make sense. We're the United States of America. We should be able to buy insurance any place in this country. So. You know, these type of things, there's some basic things that we can come up with. I think the other issue is we really have to come up with the issue of what are we doing with the illegal aliens? Sometimes they say we are, sometimes they're saying not. Sometimes they say this paragraph alludes to it, stuff like that. I don't think we should be paying for the medical for illegal aliens. And there's not a clear-cut thing in the administration on that. They keep talking about it. They say, well, it's this, it's that. Well, it's not just this or that. You know, it's either they are or they're not. And our borders, it's a joke, you know, we're worried about after 9/11, our borders, and our borders over Mexico are, like, wide open. I mean, you know, our country better get our act together because it doesn't really make sense what's going on at this point.
Well, and I agree with you on that, and here's another issue I want to bring up right now. I've seen documentation on the CDC website on a secured page linked to the CDC, which is a template for local or for state and local health departments dealing with quarantine procedures that the CDC would like to see in place in case people do not want to take the H1N1 swine flu vaccine. Now, the thing is, that's what Barack Obama is pushing right now. And I know with me, in my opinion, I'm not taking that. I will not take that at all. Because they found that that particular vaccine can be more deadly. You know, the cure is worse than the disease. I'd rather get the flu. If I die from it, so be it. But what are your viewpoints on that and the constitutionality of an order from the president, from a president who is not meant to be president, where they're emplacing laws or demanding people take vaccinations or they are to be quarantined?
Well, you know, I think if there's a... I don't think at this point that should be done. I think, you know, if it's an epidemic or something like that, it depends how bad it gets, perhaps something. But at this point, I don't think these scare tactics should be put into place. I think people should have a choice. Is it really as bad as they say it is? They say the regular flu kills a lot more people than this flu has caused. So, you know, I don't think we need scare tactics at this point. I think we need some truth and honesty from places here in the United States and around the world. And at this point, I don't think anyone should be quarantined. And we'll just have to wait and see how it develops, though.
Well, the point I also want to make is the fact that right now we have a bunch of globalists and bankers who bankrolled Obama's campaign. So he's emboldened to those bankers, and it is they have made it clear that they're more interested in a global economy and a global government rather than a constitutionally protected republic. So there's an end game here.
And well, I don't know why. I think it's been talked to many people are pushing for this universal, like, one world order and stuff like that. I don't see how it benefits us. I really don't. And I wonder the people that are behind it, you know, what's their true intentions with it. But that remains to be seen. But and that's been going on for a while, they say, and I really question that, and I hope that nothing like that happens until we can really discuss it and, you know, see what's going on.
Well, I mean, it's just a mere fact that that Obama right now is a puppet for the bankers and for their interest. And they have him, and I think you can agree with this. They probably know as much as you and I know about the fact, Phil, that he is not a viable president. He's not meant to be president. He's illegal, which makes him compromised, which means, you know, think about it. He could be blackmailed any time, and they could say, well, Mr. Obama, if you don't do what we say, we'll just tell everybody that your name's Barry Sotaro.
Well, I think he's being blackmailed already. I mean, I'll take the step further. I think that he has opened himself up to be blackmailed, and I think he's being blackmailed, if you think about it. I think that, remember, he was a candidate of change. Is his cabinet a candidate of change? I think not. I mean, think about it for a minute. His cabinet is 70% from Bill Clinton days, and who's his Secretary of Defense? Robert Gates from Bush. So I think the powers that be said, you want to be president, you can be president for a while, but you got to play ball with us, and here is the people that are your cabinet.
Chosen ones.
And then, how about Cuba? The restrictions were laxed on travel to Cuba. I think perhaps the Cuban government hasn't, says we're going to spill the beans unless you do something. And what happens when this documentation gets to China and Russia and how about to Iran? We're in real trouble in this country. I mean, think about it, because these documents are around, okay? There are documents that are around, and with that, we could be potentially in real trouble in this country.
Well, it's the mere fact, too, that even his own family admitted that he was born in Kenya.
Oh, yeah, we have a tape on our website with his step-paternal grandmother, who says she was in the hospital. She was in the hospital when he was delivered in Mombasa, Kenya. I mean, that's pretty strong words, isn't it? You know, that's hard to overcome, isn't it?
Yes, and he will not show his actual birth certificate, people. He shows this little receipt, but it's not legal.
Well, the document that he's showing is a phony document. It's been altered. You know, they say at the bottom it says how legitimate it is, but fine. But on the other hand, it's really not legit because it's showing at the very bottom, it says if there's any alteration, this document is not valid. You know, it's not valid. It's not legit. He's a phony. He's an absolute phony. And it's really a disgrace.
And let me bring this up again. You know, we've talked about it before, that you didn't start off being against Barack Obama, did you?
Oh, no. I'm doing this, people are saying I'm a big Hillary supporter. Remember, I was a candidate even for governor in U.S. Senate. I was also a campaign manager for a congressman. I was on the advanced staff of Vice President Hubert Humphrey. So I have a lot of experience. For Hillary, I made some phone calls for probably 10 hours from my desk. They have a system that works. I donated $200 to $300 to her, nowhere near the $2,300 limit you could do in the primary, and I didn't even have a lawn sign on my lawn. So I did this when I was contacted. I was contacted in August of 2008 by an individual who said, Phil, have you heard about Obama not being natural born? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, he's not, and you're the only attorney in the country with brass you-know-what that would sue Obama. So I said, thank you for the honor, and I checked it out, and sure enough, There was enough to satisfy me, and then several weeks later, I filed suit against Obama.
Well, and that's the particular point, you know, that we're looking at right now. I mean, the man has now put up over $1 million in his defense. And just to keep him from being able to show that birth certificate, why not?
Well, I think it's obvious why he hasn't shown his birth certificate. He hasn't shown his birth certificate because he wasn't born in Hawaii. If he was born in Hawaii, we would have seen that document a long time ago. I mean, this is just such a sham that they're trying to push over on us. It's really ridiculous.
Hey, I hope you don't mind me interjecting this.
Not at all.
But I want to tell my listeners, if there are any of you who are out there right now that went to school with Barack Obama in college and can tell us or find the documentation as to what he did for his financial aid, and you can send it to my email address at paulpreister@gmail.com. That's PAULPRICESTER @gmail.com. I will refer that documentation over to Mr. Berg here, and that's what he needs in order to prove that Barack Obama is not legitimate. Now, do you want to explain to our listeners why that particular document is important?
I'm sorry, which one?
Finding his school transcript.
Oh, sure, because I think his school's transcript, sorry about that, I think his school transcripts will indicate that he applied for and received foreign aid. I mean, let's not be stupid here, everyone. Think about it. John McCain produced his school records. He showed he graduated fifth from the bottom of his class at the Naval Academy. I'm sure Obama's are not worse than that, so why else would he hide his records? It has nothing to do with where he stands. I think it has an indication of where he, you know, applied for. I think he applied for either from Kenya or from Indonesia. Kenya, where he was born, or Indonesia, where he was adopted. And then we're just being we're being stupid. I mean, it's just amazing. It really is. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense.
Well, and I agree with you on that. And I just want to tell my listeners, bottom line, whether or not you believe this or not, or even if you know information and you're just keeping it to yourself because you're afraid of what might happen, it is better to release the information than to hold it with you and allow a dictator or a potential dictator to control the country illegally. Now, the point I want to make to my listeners right now is that, yes, we all made a mistake. Well, I didn't. I didn't vote for Barack. But those of you, the majority who did, made a simple error in judgment. You want to change. I did, too. But the change that you were looking for, you did not get because Barack Obama, number one, has not changed any policy that he promised he would. Our troops are still over in Iraq and Afghanistan right now fighting and dying. And he will not bring them back. Why? His handlers do not want to end the war and their ability to make money. And why is he doing that and going against his campaign promises? Zell right here is telling you why. It's because he has been living the lie. So do you want a man who's living the lie to be your president? Or would you rather have an individual who has integrity and will follow the letter of law? Okay, I've went on my soapbox right there. Phil, go ahead, please.
No problem. No, and you're correct on that. And that's why, you know, we have to demand the truth. And right now we have to expand our base. If 75 million people in the United States knew this issue, and we could demand at any time, like, you know, come. That's what I'm trying to build our website and build the people coming. You know, if we said tomorrow, everyone call ABC News and demand they cover the story. The next day, everyone call CBS, et cetera, et cetera. And we could do this with large numbers of people, and the message can get out very quickly. So we're asking people, unite with us, come forward with us. We're the most complete website on this topic. There's a lot of others out there. But ObamaCrimes.com has the three cases that I have pending in the federal court system. We have a hearing scheduled for October 26th in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia. And we're waiting right now for a hearing in the D.C., Washington, D.C., federal court on the motion for reconsideration, which I filed alleging that Attorney General Eric Holder is in a conflict of interest and he should either allow me to proceed with the case or appoint a special prosecutor. So a lot of things are pending right now, but we need the public support. If we can get the public support, I really believe that we will be able to move forward on this and legally remove Obama from office.
Well, one thing I want to bring up to my listeners in the chat room, I had a listener make a comment about Bush sent the troops, but I didn't hear too many saying get rid of W. Well, I did, because I did not believe that the troops needed to be in Iraq or Afghanistan. I've made that point clear. So if you want to make those particular statements, please do so with the thought that, you know, not everybody, you know, agreed with what W did. I did not. And I was very vocal on it. And the reason why we're talking about Obama is that we're not talking about headhunting Obama at all. What we're trying to do, let me ask you, and this is not for you, Phil, it's for the listeners. You were pulled over. You drank maybe one too many beers at the bar or whatever you've done that night.
Right.
You're a little inebriated. The cop tells you to get out of the car and to walk a thin line. You fail the test. Well, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be arrested. You're going to be fingerprinted, and you're going to be locked up at least for 24 to 48 hours. That's the law, right?
Correct.
Well, what happens, though, if you're president of the United States and you're not constitutionally meant to be president and you lied on your application and you lied when you went and ran for office, not only once but twice in Obama's case, because Obama was in the Congress before he even went and tried and ran for president. So twice he's lied. Perjury is a prisonable offense. And we don't look at it that way anymore. And he perjured himself. He's not meant to be president. So is it any better for Obama to get away with this? Whether it be Obama, Bush, for that example, or anyone.
No one should get away with it. And, you know, if you're stopped by a police officer and the police officer, you say, why'd you stop me for speeding? Why didn't you get the other car? Well, I got you. No, there's no excuse for this. This is this is outrageous conduct here, and it has to be dealt with. And if I find out I'm wrong, I'll apologize, but I don't believe I'm wrong. And on this basis, we really have to proceed against Obama. If I'm wrong, and I would want certified copies, I'd want the court to actually go there to see his long-form birth certificate, which would have the weight of the baby, the length of the baby, the hospital name, the doctor's signature. But in addition to that, I'd want to see the paperwork he got when he came back from Indonesia, his certification of citizenship, because I'm sure that's only going to show that he's naturalized, not natural born. Also, I want to see all the papers where he's legally changed his name since being adopted. His legal name today is Barry Soturo. So therefore, every state that he put his name as Barack Hussein Obama was a fraud. And I'd like to see those documents. And when and if he produces those documents, at that point, then, you know, I will say I'll go away. But he won't produce those documents because he can't produce those documents because he's 100% phony. And notice, listeners, I'm not playing games with this thing. I'm talking very straightforward. So, you know, if I was really talking things that were detrimental to this country, they would have locked me up. They're not locking me up because I am correct. And it's a sad state of affairs, and I'm correct, and I have to still fight for this, and I'm fighting this for all of you.
Well, the thing about it is, what I want my listeners to understand is that it's the rule of law. Number one, we don't allow rapists out of prison, child molesters, murderers. Yet we're allowing a man who knowingly lied on his application, knowingly did other things just to become president, to maintain his seat as president, and for what? Has he changed anything, Phil? Has there been any significant change that Barack Obama has ever done that would justify anything that he has done illegally to get into office?
I don't believe so. I don't believe anything that has helped us positively. I don't think the stimulus package has worked. I don't think a lot of things that he's done have not worked. The unemployment is getting higher and higher. He's sending us more and more in debt. He's trying hard to get this medical thing passed through. It should not be until it's really discussed by everyone. We don't need a timetable. They don't even know what they're voting for. And that's a disgrace. And he also, remember, he said when he becomes president, nothing's going to be voted on until everyone has at least 4 days to review it. Well, that hasn't occurred. You know, I mean, he talks out both sides of his mouth, and it's absurd. And we need better than that for this country at this point.
And the mere fact, too, and I agree with you on that, and the mere fact, too, right now, we're looking at the fact that that stimulus package didn't go where it should have gone. It went to bankers. And what have the bankers been using that money for? The problem is we don't know. We know some of the things, like paying bonuses to their corporate heads. And for what?
Well, they deserve it. They ran such a wonderful economy.
They ran it into the ground, didn't they?
Yeah, I'm being very facetious here for your listeners. Yeah,
and
no, what's going on is absurd, and it's not right, and we have to do something about it.
Well, and one of the other reasons why I believe that Obama was put in office is because of certain things like with what Ron Paul wants to do. Ron Paul wants to audit the Fed. The Fed doesn't want to be audited because they know once they're audited, that information will come back to bite them in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? You put in a puppet figure like Barack Obama that can be easily controlled, who will run block for you and make sure that no investigation will ever occur. And this is what we're dealing with right now, a man who cannot be, even if he wanted to be, cannot be a complete president due to the fact that he has too many skeletons in his closet.
Well, also, look what he's doing. He's bypassing Congress. People have done it before with the czars. He has now like 35 czars who report to him, do not have to be confirmed by Congress. So we have a... We have a real messy situation in this country, and we better do something to straighten it out.
And I agree with that, and I want to know from you, what do you think we can do? I mean, I know, go to your website, obamacrimes.com. Number one, read up the material, and don't be stupid, people. And I'm not saying my listeners are stupid. They're not. They're smart. And don't be gullible. Don't let these people pull the wool over your eyes. Use your minds. You're an intelligent bunch. Go there, read the material, and then act upon it. If you need to know what to do, hey, write me an email. Go to my website, PaulRichardPrice.com, the official website of the show. And what I'll do is put up links there where you can learn how to do these things. Don't let them think you've been dumbed down, my audience, because you're not. You're the most intelligent people that I know. And that's why I bring people like Phil Berg on my show, is to let you know that you have a voice. Use the voice and use your intelligence. Go ahead, Phil, please.
Well, it's been my pleasure to be on your show. Please, obamacrimes.com. Go there. Send it to everyone out there. If you can make a contribution, it would help. And, Paul, I look forward to being on your show again.
Okay, and I want to ask you one other thing right now. Why are you so passionate right now? We still have some time left. Why are you so passionate right now about the Constitution?
Because there's nothing more important than our Constitution. It's the basis of this of our country, our foundation of this nation, and I think that I was born into a country which has beautiful privileges for many of us here, the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, which I think is a joke right now, but so many freedoms, and people around the world wish they lived here in this country, wish they had, you know, the rights that we have here. And it's a shame that some of our rights have been taken away in recent years, and I'm against that. I am for the people of this country deserve the best they can. We have one of the best medical systems in the world. You know, maybe there's some problems with it, but change it. But don't change it by threats and demands and Obama just trying to do this. You know, this country, our Constitution, I mean, I was born here in Philadelphia, and I think that, to me, it's the most beautiful area down where Independence Hall is now, the convention, the Constitution Center. Just the other day was the 222nd anniversary of our U.S. Constitution. Admire it, enjoy it, follow it. That's the base of this great nation, and we have to do that. And that's why my passion has gotten stronger and stronger, because as I've fought for this over the past 14 months, people around the world send me such wonderful comments and thank you, and you're a patriot, and God bless you, and all that. And I don't need that, but I appreciate everyone saying it. I'm doing this for the people of this country who deserve the truth, who deserve to know what's going on, and we will keep fighting. And I'm proud by fighting for this that we will accomplish, I hope soon rather than later, legally remove Obama from office. And people around him that know about this should go to be tried in the criminal justice system, and those that are found guilty should go to jail. Because we must respect, if we don't have the rule of law, we have nothing in this country.
Okay, and for everyone on here, I'd like to refer you again to ObamaCrimes.com. I'd like to thank you again, Phil, for being on my show. You're an excellent guest and a scholar. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
And let me also tell everybody, you will find the truth here. What you do with it is up to you. This is Paul Price with the Prophecy Chronicle signing off tonight. God bless and good night.